Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 200 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And yes, once again, episode 200. Today's January 1st, 2013. Happy New Year to all.
Happy New Year, Greg.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Can I just say, what a day to pick to do a bloody podcast.
Yes, but hey, you know what? We rarely take time off. We took a week off last week, so we couldn't take another week off. That would just be insane.
No, that would be just foolish. It'd be even more foolish to forget that you was doing a podcast today.
Right, and have a party with a bunch of booze.
Yes.
Yes.
No one
indeed
would do that.
Nobody would ever do that. Mr. Richard Primrose in the house.
Yo, if ever there was a time for me to fall asleep, this is it. I say no more. Game of the Year. Let's do it.
We are going to jump into Game of the Year for sure. But before we do that, we're going to talk to Mr. Mike Chin.
I'd be disappointed if Primrose doesn't fall asleep on episode 200, to be honest.
The odds makers have phoned in to me and said it is at least 4-1 odds that he will.
Yeah, it's pretty strong odds tonight. It's pretty strong.
I've put money against that, so get ready to pay.
Okay. Also in the room, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
I am in this room that has nothing else in it other than me and some cardboard boxes and this ridiculous chair. Hello.
Perfect. Yeah, Game of the Year, guys. So let's kind of recap real fast why we did what we did and how we did it. So
I'll tell you why, because I wasn't here to stop you, you clowns.
There is a little bit of that truth. That definitely, yeah. You sure missed that episode. You won't do that again, I assure. Yeah. So we did a bunch of categories. We narrowed down the field for each category, usually to 5 games. We made exceptions for, I think, the best $60 game and then the Game of the Year category. We actually expanded those to 6 games. And then we threw the polls out there to the G4TE.com community, and we let the community vote. So we have no control over what wins in all of these categories. We did have a lot of control as far as what went into these categories, unless you're Christopher Matthew and skipped the podcast, and you had no control.
Yeah, oh, man, sometimes you just got to be with your family.
This is true.
Actually, during that podcast, I was deep into grading final exams on that particular day.
Yes,
Chris,
that was the truth of it.
Chris, can we just get some feedback? If you did listen to that podcast, what you was actually doing at the time, and what your reactions were to some of the debates that were going on.
You know, I feel terrible. I haven't listened to that podcast. I just read the polls on the website. I haven't listened to any podcasts in like 2 weeks because I haven't had my usual routine going where I would listen to them. So no one cares about that but me, though. Let's move on.
I care a lot about it because now I feel a lot safer in my bed at night.
You won't for long because once he starts reading through the polls, anger will come out.
I have discovered that it doesn't cost very much to fly to England, though, so be afraid.
All right, well, let's just talk real fast about games we have been playing over the past 2 weeks, because we did take some time off. I know everybody, you know, Christmas time, people get games. You might have played something new, you might have played something old. So, first off, Mr. Primrose, before you fall asleep, let's talk about what you've been playing.
I'm just going to talk about one game, and I've put so much time into it. Little Intersection. I've prestiged on Blobs 2.
Well done, mate. Congratulations.
Duke, insert soundbite here. Having done that, every single bit of my time that I've had going to spare has been put into Far Cry 3.
Ah.
Yes.
This game is brilliant.
Yeah.
Mike, you played this game yet?
I have bought it. That doesn't answer your question, I realise that, because I have not played. I have not even opened it at the wrapper yet.
Having played this game for about 4 or 5 hours, the thing that came across my face, apart from the weird menu stuff that pops up whilst you're playing it, is God, Mike Chin is going to love this game.
Really?
Oh. Mate, tell you what. Realized Worlds, open world games, this is the best map I have ever seen, for starters. Okay.
So what do you think of me when you play it? Is it because you got some weird sick fantasy about me?
No. I'll tell you what it is. Because I can remember I had quite an intense weekend of playing Red Dead Redemption on the open world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we had much fun times on it and everything. This is very similar in its setting, you know, because it's like all open and everything. And I was a liker of the Half-Life 2, whereas you, I don't think, was so much. This has absolutely fixed every single thing that was wrong about Half-Life 2. And I realised all them things that were wrong about Half-Life 2, but I did enjoy it. But I
like Half-Life 2.
Yeah, good.
I loved it. I've played it four times.
You will love this game. It's brilliant.
Where is it? I'm trying to look for it. Hang on. See if I got it.
Yeah, I'm a little confused, though. Weren't we just talking about Red Dead Redemption?
No, yes, we were. Because I'm the way that I'm drawing similarities...
This is what happens when people are drunk, Greg.
No. As far as the open world's concerned, this is, I think, probably the best realised open world game that I've played. I'll say that outright. GTA 4, I loved that. Red Dead Redemption, I loved that. But I love this even more. And it's all to do with the gameplay as well. The way that the gameplay has been put into that open world. I'm more of an arcadey sort of type guy. I like to be able to go off in different side missions. Much like me and Chris had good times on Saints Row 3 and stuff. Bobbing around there. This is like that. You can trigger off stuff and it gains your interest and you're off doing stuff. And I've heard different commentaries about the way that the story pans out later on. I think I'm a good way through it because I've basically done over half of the story, and I know that it's two-thirds where people get let down with what's going off in the story, but
I'll speak to that. Yeah,
I'm not being led by that. I just love if you do the open world thing, you've got to embrace all of it. It's all to do with the side missions and the stuff that they build in there. The crafting stuff that they've put in is genius, because all I wanted to do probably for the first 10 hours of playing it, and I've put tons of hours into this, is do the hunting stuff and getting myself ranked up as far as unlocking things that you can build for yourself, your ammunition pouches and stuff like that. And that's the beauty of the game. Whereas Half-Life 2 didn't have the focus on anything. It was the open world and enjoy it and explore it. This one has got focus on it. So, for me, it's just made the game complete. And, it's just brilliant. I'm just let down by the fact that I've not played this a few months earlier, and I could talk a lot.
I'm out December, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Aren't you glad now that you didn't allow for Far Cry 3 to fall out of Game of the Year?
Yeah, I am. I am really glad about that. But it's hard
to.
Borderlands 2 has been talking about. Everybody's talking about that too much.
We covered Borderlands 2 with a community poll, so we'll discuss that in a bit. But getting back to Far Cry 3, Rich, one thing I did want to bring up, because I literally finished Far Cry 3 over the weekend, and I agree with a lot of the sentiment about the way the story pans out.
Yeah.
And the letdown, and I won't give any spoilers away, but the letdown for me isn't so much that there's like bad writing that happens or anything in that regard. I think the way it lets you down is its use of some characters in the story. In particular, they kind of cut certain characters short and introduce some new characters, and even the new characters introduced get cut short. And the finality of it all revolves around a character that I could have cared maybe two pennies about. It was disappointing, because I think there's a couple characters in this game that, you know, they're villain characters that could have been really good and really fleshed out better. And unfortunately, they did them kind of an injustice in how they handled them. And that was disappointing. But overall, the campaign is fun. It's good. And what's nice is it doesn't feel like a slog fest. Like, you don't feel like you really have to grind this game, but you do it kind of naturally. You'll start just, you know, hunting, and you'll be crafting things just kind of because that's what you do in this world, versus other games of this ilk. You feel the need to kind of grind because it's an RPG and you want to level your character up. You never really get that sensation of you need to do it. You just kind of want to because of everything that's presented in front of you.
I've done that early on in the game. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't know if it's just the way that I'm playing it, but the one thing that I can see probably happening whilst I'm progressing through the story is that I feel like I've got more money than I know what to do with. Like, my wallet is completely wadded out and I can spend as much as I want in the shop and I'm not gaining anything from it because I've got basically all the guns unlocked. And it doesn't seem like there's anything else I can do with that money. All I can do is go out and try and find, because the way it works with the kit that you're buying, you can go out and do the hunting missions, and then basically you'll get to a point where the last level of that equipment that you've got, whether it be munition belts or ammo belts or wallets for carrying money or rucksacks, the last stage of that is always bound by a hunting mission. So you have to go in out and kill a certain beast and do it with a certain weapon. So there's no prerequisite to that. So you've got nothing to gain by ranking up a certain gun because you're going to get everything out of that. You've got to do it by the set standards that are there for the mission.
I mean, what's nice, though, in that regard is you don't need any of that stuff really to finish the game.
No.
It's like you don't have to have super-powered weapons to do it. It'll make it easier on you,
yep.
But you absolutely can play through this game with just the basic guns and probably be able to finish it all just fine.
Yeah. But the good thing is as well is the great thing about open world games is being able to do the sidetracking, and the skill of a developer is to be able to do that sidetracking and make you feel like it's still entertaining. Because you can do sidetracking in certain games, and you'll feel like it's a chore, so you don't want to do it. You just drift back into the story, and you'll just trench on through the whole of the story and finish the game and probably not get the most out of that game. This game, I feel, makes you want to do the sidetracking and drift off and do certain things, and you will play 2 hours doing... You'll be on your way to do a main storyline, and you'll get sidetracked off, and... just carry on doing that. And that's the beauty of it. It's really, really good for that. And I think all of it is down to the way that they've developed that world. Story-wise, what you're talking about, I felt it would have benefited from branching storylines. Because there's a certain point in the story where you see it going off in sort of a mystical sort of storyline.
Right.
And then it goes on what is, you could say... a stereotypical sort of way that you'd normally see a game go, and it doesn't seem like there's any method of you branching back into that other thing, and that would have been brilliant if they could have done that. But what I would say about the whole package as well is I played the multiplayer once, and it's very workable. It's I'd equate it very much like Battlefield sort of thing. Didn't feel out of place getting dropped into a game and just trying it. I did co-op with Greg, and then we had a GH Rocker came in as well, Antenko.
Right.
And we had a blast on it, didn't we? We was enjoying it.
Yeah.
It was great fun. But what I would have loved them to just place in it, and I don't think it's a massive thing to do, is to if they would have put something like Free Roam in, and the sort of thing you would have got in Red Dead Redemption, I think this would have been a brilliant game for people to just jump in and, you know, it would have had that intense...
Oh, from a co-op standpoint. From a co-op standpoint.
Yeah, to get that community thing going where you could bang in a load of people and just go free roaming and then setting off certain instances which are like
yeah, so
things.
Co-op was interesting because it is very linear in that it kind of pushes you forward to checkpoint to checkpoint, and you don't get to just roam the island. You're kind of in a set area, and the game will prevent you from leaving the area. But what's interesting is it kind of has like these checkpoints where you complete a checkpoint and it'll load up the next area. But in between, I want to say it's usually the first and second mission, and then the second and third mission, it does these little like breaks where you will compete competitively against your other co-op players in just some silly games. Like there was a sniper challenge where we all had sniper rifles and we were sitting up on a bridge and we were shooting down at a bunch of bad guys below us, and it was basically who could score the highest amount, you know, in a certain amount of time. And then there was an ATV race, Rich, that we did where you had to pick up a bomb on your ATV and then deliver it to the spot. And there were like two bombs that would show up on the map, and you had to race to try and get to at least one of them. And then once you got it, you raced to the bomb drop-off. And in one instance, you and I both had bombs, and we were just totally jamming to it. And I think I nipped you out by like a second to get to the bomb placement. But you know, every time you got a bomb into the drop point, you got a point. And it was like the first person to 5 points or something like that. But it was just fun, and it broke it up a little bit and it made for, you know, just a different kind of experience. Yeah.
And what Greg's neglecting to say is, even though it's a co-op game, whilst he picked up the bomb to start off with, I just completely sacked the idea of getting the other bomb and just tried to get Greg off his ATV to nick his bomb. But you can't do that. But that was great fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. And there is a story based around the co-op, but I'll be honest, I didn't find it to be really compelling and make me like want to play the co-op for the story. So, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
You know, they have some nice cutscenes to it. It certainly is presented nicely enough.
It's a lot Left 4 Dead, isn't it, the way they lay it out?
Yeah, true, because it's like four set characters, an old guy, a couple, there's I want to say he's Irish or Scottish.
A Scottish man.
My bad. Hey, don't kill me. And then there's a Russian kid, and then there's a young black woman, and basically all of them kind of have their different, I guess, expertise. But I don't think the expertise actually come into play.
No,
Other than your initial loadout. But you rank up, and you can earn new weapons and things like that in it, and it is you know, it stays with you, so you'll be able to, you know, continue on with that stuff. But again, it's good fun. It's not something to me that, like Gears of War, where Horde mode really was a big attraction. This, it's a nice addition, but the main star of Far Cry 3 is the single player game.
Yeah.
Fun. All right. Well, let's push past that, Rich, and we'll jump over to Mr. CPM Matthew. Also still with us, I'm sure.
Yep, not falling asleep. Yep. My list will be short. I have been playing XCOM, and that is all.
There's nothing wrong with that. How is the? I believe you are going with the classic difficulty level. Done.
Victory achieved.
How brutal was it?
It was brutal. It was hard to get started, but kind of once you finish some research and you have the upgraded weapons and some of your soldiers have been promoted up. It's not too bad. It's really just kind of getting over that initial difficulty ramp up.
What about the panic levels of the nations? I mean,
I did lose a couple of countries, but you know, if you focus your efforts on building satellites early, you can kind of manage that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, did you just deploy satellites, or would you? Would you make them up and then wait to see the panic level rise and then deploy a satellite in that area?
So that was the next thing I was going to say is, so there's two things with satellites. One is, excuse my chair. There's
no excuse. Yeah, it's the chair.
Excuse me while I bust ass all over the podcast. Yeah. two things with the satellites. The first thing was, you know, kind of pick a plan of attack early, like which continents are you going to try to keep to get their bonuses, right? And so focus there. And then any satellites you have kind of in reserve, use those to control panic. So I would always wait until like right before the end of the month to actually launch the satellites, because that way if I had a country that was in the red and I was going to lose them, I could launch a satellite over that country to bring them back down right before the report, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, got it.
Yes, it was good. It was good. I put up some hints and tricks on the website, but only one person has commented on it thus far. So apparently I'm the only one still playing XCOM. That's all right.
I had a brilliant idea for DLC for this on the 360G Gamercast. What they were saying was, wouldn't it be great if you've been through like the Iron Man mode and you've obviously gone through there with what you see as being your best team possible?
Yeah.
If you could get to the end of that and then have as DLC where you play as the aliens and you have to go back and defeat your best team that you've done.
Hmm.
So you've got your best squad possible and you have to go up against them and do it. That'd be brilliant, that would.
Be a pretty niche DLC, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but if it was part of a DLC sort of thing, that'd be great.
I love that. In addition to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, excellent. Chris, anything else? Or just XCOM?
That's all of the plan.
Okay.
That's it.
That's perfectly fine. Mike, what about you?
So, you know, I've got quite a collection of games I've kept for myself to be playing over the Christmas break. I've got Skyrim here, Far Cry here. What other games have I got sitting here? Dishonored is sitting here as well. And also Halo 4 to finish. So a selection of games to be cracking on with. And of course, I picked the best of them, Lollipop Chainsaw.
That game that you was waiting for so much.
Yeah, so... I figured out the reason why I love to play these games because Tara quite rightly said to me, because you know Tara says, you know, I don't think playing games is a waste of time as long as you enjoy them, right? And I think that's a fair point. If you enjoy something, then it's not a waste of time, is it? If you enjoy watching a film or reading a book or playing a game, if you're enjoying it, and I was moaning to her about this game, and she says, well, why are you playing it then? You're not enjoying it, then it's a complete waste of time. And then I worked out why I am playing it. And the only reason that I'm playing this game is to prove Stuart wrong. Now, in this case, Stu didn't like Lollipop Chainsaw. So he did admit that it's not a great game. But I still have to keep him in check. I still have to make sure. All right? Because the last game that he liked that was absolutely stupid was Azura's Wrath. So I played Azura's Wrath.
And we should point out... For those that don't know, Stuart from the Veteran Gamers podcast.
From that other fine podcast that I do. He played Azura's Wrath, and he was saying it's the best game ever, and the cutscenes are so good. It's a shit game for shit people, right? So let's get that straight. That's why I played that problem solved. Now, he did say Lollipop Chainsaw was bad, but I have to check these things, you see. I have to make sure. I'm kind of like a supervisor type guy.
Right.
And, yeah, it is pretty bad. My God, it makes no fucking sense. He tries to be funny. It's not funny. But I'll say this. This is controversial. You ready to this?
She's hot.
Better than Bayonetta.
Oh, okay.
Better than Bayonetta. The only reason why it fails, I think, is because it's trying to be funny. But I'm just purely looking at that it doesn't give me a headache. The length of the game is better than Bayonetta because Bayonetta just didn't end. And it's more memorable as well.
So the gameplay is perfectly feasible because gameplay on Bayonetta was really good. Fighting.
It was good. And maybe the fighting combat was a little bit more complex in Bayonetta. But like this is a simplified version of it. It's just like Y is chainsaw, X is pom-pom attack. Yes, I know.
Pom-pom attack.
I know. Right, which I never used, by the way. So, yeah, it's just a very simple beat and hack and slash game with a ridiculous coating of stupid sexist nonsense. But it isn't as long as Bayonetta, and I didn't roll my eyes as many times as I did in Bayonetta. So, yeah, take that. But they're both shit, so don't play them anyway. So that, Lollipop Chainsaw, it's a load of shit. Put that on the box.
Put that on the box. Well, there we go.
It.
I'm sorry.
That was more than what Stu could do. Stu never even finished it. So, yes, apart from that awful shit, I haven't played anything else on my Xbox. But I have got an iPhone 5 now.
Oh, so we've heard.
Yes. You sure were quick to make that announcement, Mr. Mike Chen.
Look at me. I've got an iPhone 5. Yep. So I've been playing some games on there, and I have to say, Temple Run is still probably my favorite game. I love Temple Run. For people that don't know, it's a little kind of how far can you go type game where you play as this little guy that runs and you have
constant
to jump.
Constant running.
It's just constant. I feel sorry for the guy because he never gets away. And you're running from these weird one-eyed apes or something. And you have to swipe left or right or jump or duck. And I really like that. Angry Birds Star Wars, been playing that. That's a lot of fun.
It's a good game.
It is good. I am enjoying it. And it, for some reason, works. You know what everybody heard about? Oh, my God. Angry Birds Star Wars. That's gonna be awful. Well, the Star Wars franchise is already doomed anyway. Like, it's what? How worse can it get? You know what I mean? Right? So,
I actually put it up there kind of in the same light, and not quite the same light, because I'm sure people will throw disparaging comments at me, but Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like,
in that,
just,
you know,
thing. Whatever. You know what's worse for Star Wars? Bad prequels. So it can't be any worse than that. And no, it's great. Like, all the sounds are good, the music's great, the levels are really interesting as well, and they change it up. So if you're on Hoth, for example, there's a lot of ice. And then the one before that, there's, you're on the Death Star and you've got to, like, deal with, like, gravity in space and all this. It changes it up, and I was really impressed by that. What other ones? Oh, yeah, GTA 3. I've been playing GTA 3. Doesn't really work as well on an iPhone as it would on an iPad. So I've played it on
iPad.
I slog through it now and again. I'm not like on it. If Rockstar want my money for that, I mean, I already paid 69p for it, but if they want more money from me, then they would put San Andreas, Vice City, and GTA 3 on a collector's edition on the Xbox, and then they've got my money, no problem. And then put achievements on it as well. So for some reason, they're not doing that yet. I don't know. Anywho. Tiny Wings is another one. Tiny Wings is this little bird and you have to get him to fly all the while. I don't like that one as much. I don't know why. It kind of gets me tense. Temple Run's a little bit more. It's another, like, how far can you go type game. But right. I enjoy Temple Run a lot more. And that's about it on the gaming front, right?
Yeah. Mike, all right. You played Punch Quest yet?
Have I played what, sorry?
Punch Quest.
Punch Quest, no. Is this a game I should be downloading?
Try that. I'm sure it's free still.
Okay, I'll have a go.
Constant Runners, it was the one that everybody was like pointing out as being the best one this year. And both me and my other half were really into that. It was good.
See, the thing is with iPhone games, a lot of them are just like, how far can you go?
Yeah, well, they've got to. It's down to the restrictions of the controlling, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a lot of them are that, so. Well, that is good.
I mean, there's only so much you can do with how far you can go type games.
Yeah.
And I find that Temple Run does, like, the best job of it so far. But Punch Quest, I'll try Punch Quest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, my list has basically already been done. We talked to Far Cry 3, and that was the big game for me over the holiday break. I got a little Black Ops 2 in and played some Halo 4 last night on Monday Night Halo.
That was
a blast. Love the Halos. Lots of good times with that. Let's cut bait here and let's start talking Game of the Year polls.
Let's do it.
And dive into it. So, this podcast is going to be kind of similar to what our last podcast was basically one long running commentary.
Well, like a one long argument.
Yes. Well, we're not going to argue yet. In fact, we don't have to argue.
People really enjoy it, though. Like, I forgot who said
it. It's out of our hands, though. It is out of our hands at this
point. It's out of our hands, so but people was enjoying our last podcast.
I had a blast with it, personally.
It was fun.
I'm sure Chris might throw some disparaging words at us shortly.
I'm surprised he's still on the show, to be honest, after that.
I'm only here because it's episode 200.
And also your last episode.
Chris will be announcing his retirement at the end of the show. Yeah. All right, so what we're going to do is we broke things up into two different kind of categories. We had the podcast debates and discussion, Game of the Year, Overseas Connection, Game of the Year polls. Then Chris posted up community-based podcast, I shouldn't say community-based podcast, but community-based gate polls, and we'll cover that after the break in the second half of the show. For now, we'll dive into the first half. The first category that was up was Best New Weapon. And I have all of the results live.
Oh, my God.
And now if I can only find it. Here we go. So, best new weapon.
I can't see anything.
Yeah. I can't
yes,
see anything.
I've kept everything. Nobody knows.
Surprise.
Yes, this is a surprise. Yeah, so, for best new weapon, we had the following nominees. Kingdoms of Amalur, the Feyblades. We had the Dragonfly drones, and we actually combined up the Ghost Recon and Black Ops 2 drones since they were so similar.
Yep.
Borderlands 2 guided missile grenade, which we were correctly pointed out, I guess, a little bit later on, that that was not necessarily a new weapon, but it was new to us, apparently. So
it was new to me.
It was new to me, too. So Assassin's Creed 3 rope dart. It's also in the running. And Dishonored, the Sleeping Dart Crossbow, the dark horse of the group. So all votes in up to today, about 2 hours ago. We had, with 35% of the vote, Borderlands 2 Guided Missile Grenade.
There you
winning.
Go.
Yeah. Second place at 20% each was the Dragonfly Drones and the Rope Dart from Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Dishonored Sleeping Dart Crossbow came in last place with 10% of the vote.
Oh, no.
Give you that. But, yeah, so congratulations, Borderlands 2, Guided Missile Grenade.
Woohoo!
There you go.
Yay!
First. So let's see. Next up, I believe we had Best Commercial for a Game.
All right, yeah. This was tough because, like, you had to watch the commercial.
Yeah,
because
I don't watch TV.
No, neither do I.
There's a couple people that had that same kind of comment. I don't really watch TV, so.
Yeah.
So we had.
Can I just say, as an insert, I went to watch The Hobbit yesterday.
I've already said this. I watched The Hobbit as well, and I haven't watched Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the gaming adverts before you watched that at the pictures were more prominent than actual movie trailers. They had a Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, yeah, they did. I saw that as well. Oh,
yeah.
It's class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Hmm.
And then, you know, the Jack Reacher film?
Yeah.
That used,
yes.
That used the same song as Bioshock Infinite's song.
Yep. Yeah.
Huh. And I was like, motherfucker. I think it's called Beasts or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, best commercial. So
best commercial.
The nominees. Nominees for Best Commercial: Halo 4.
Yep.
Black Ops 2.
Good one.
World of Warcraft: Mist of Pandaria.
That's a good
that
one.
That was on The Hobbit.
Max Payne 3. And Mass Effect 3.
Yep.
And votes have been cast. We had a tie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my
God.
So tying for Best Commercial: Black Ops 2.
Yep.
And Mass Effect 3, both capturing 33%.
I did enjoy it. Black Ops 2 was more about, to be honest. I did enjoy that one.
Yeah. The interesting one for me that came in second or third, if you will, on the poll, was World of Warcraft, Mr. Pandaria.
That was on The Hobbit, and that was it was really
good. Did you go to a showcase cinema by any chance, Primrose?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I think they show the same trailers.
All right, so congratulations to Black Ops 2 and Mass Effect 3 for the best trailer.
Surprise! Woo. That was a Black Ops 2 trailer. That was good.
Yeah. If we had enough money in the show, we would have sound effects for clapping and stuff.
Yeah, but... yeah. Well, the veteran gamers, we pay so much for that, you know. That's like $10 a sound effect. It's ridiculous.
Can I say, just out of touch as well, we did the joint OC podcast and... Veteran Gamers podcast for Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yeah.
I think me and Greg were out of water when we was getting sound effects, like, played in front of us.
What is this?
Mike, every respect for being able to work around
Thank them. You. Thank you. It's not easy, is it? Because you try to tell somebody and he goes, Jesus. That's why I do a second podcast, just to give us all a rest.
All right, let's move on to
the
next.
Oh, yeah, by the way, on what I've been playing, I have been playing more Walking Dead. I forgot about that. I am up to episode 4 now. I've finished episode 4, and I'm on the last episode. So that is very good.
Have you reached an emotional state at some point in that game?
I wouldn't say an emotional state. I suppose the very end of episode 4.
You were dead inside.
No,
you were
not.
Dead inside.
I like it. At the very end of episode 4, I was like, oh no! I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I was like, oh no! Yeah, so I'm invested. I don't cry or anything because I'm not a gay. But like, I'm joking. I am a gay. So I just, I think it's great. I'm invested. I like the characters. I like the story. I think it's brilliant. Yeah. So
okay.
One more episode to go.
All right. Well, that game definitely not in this category. So the next category up was worst game of the year.
Oh, no.
And in this category, we had Steel Battalion Heavy Armor, Kinect Star Wars.
What you talked about?
Fable Heroes.
Are they put Transformers on this?
Resident Evil 6, which surprised me a little that made this list.
Oh, it didn't surprise me. Jesus Christ, you didn't play it.
And the late entry, which was switched in, was Amy.
Amy.
Yes. So taking the vote with a commanding 52.4%.
Whoa.
Kinect Star Wars.
Okay.
Worst game of the year.
Worst of the year, Star Wars.
Not apparently fans out there. So congratulations, Kinect Star Wars, for being the worst game of the year for the Overseas Connection polls. Next up was biggest letdown of the year. And this, again, not to be confused with the worst game. It's just, biggest letdown. And that could take a lot of different forms.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
No. On the list, we had Mass Effect 3.
Yep.
Resident Evil 6.
Oh, dear.
Steel Battalion Heavy Armor. Medal of Honor Warfighter. And Resident Evil Raccoon City. And just edging out Steel Battalion Heavy Armor...
I can't believe this. This is terrible.
Mass Effect 3.
Oh, my God.
This is terrible.
Yeah, but you didn't like the ending at all.
I didn't like the ending, but the rest of the game was amazing. I can't.
People were let down.
I know, but it's just that last 15 minutes was no good. But the rest of it was so good, and the multiplayer that I was sure was going to be an abysmal failure was good. I can't put this in a biggest letdown category. I mean, it's too late because you idiots did it without me. But
More importantly, it's the community voted
I'm
for.
I had formal protest.
I had no problem with Mass Effect whatsoever.
But see, and again, this is why we said this is not the same as worst game because Mass Effect 3, ironically, is in our game of the year category.
It's getting arguments from both sides, isn't it?
It is, and that speaks volumes to the controversy that surrounded this game.
It's a tough one, because the thing is, it's putting the marker in there beforehand, because you've got the expectation, and then the gap that you've got in between it just let a lot of people down so much. So I think that's what everybody's voting on, which is unfortunate, because as a whole package, I don't think there was anything wrong with that game.
Nope.
All right, well, let's move on. Congratulations to Mass Effect 3 for the biggest letdown this year.
I'm sure they'll put that on their shelf.
Chris, can you collect that award for us?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll deliver that one.
Here's, actually, I should.
They're right down the street from you, Greg. Why don't you just pull up in there? Hey.
In fact, I'll go like to a trophy shop and buy like a little tiny trophy and put worst game of the year or biggest letdown.
Casey Hood's might like it.
That could be hilariously bad for me. All right. Let's move on to best box art this year.
Uh-huh.
The nominees for this, Halo 4,
yep.
Assassin's Creed 3,
uh-huh.
The Darkness 2,
uh-huh.
Dishonored, and Sleeping Dogs.
No.
And narrowly beating out Assassin's Creed 3.
It's got to be Halo.
Halo 4, yeah. 36.4% of the vote.
Such
takes
a good
it.
Box art, that is.
Yes, congratulations. Was happy to see The Darkness 2 getting a couple nods. That was really good good box art, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked to see the Sleeping Dogs got anything.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of the Sleeping Dogs box art, but that's okay.
What did Dishonored get?
Dishonored got a lump of coal.
You know why? Because it's not very good box art.
Oh, fuck off.
No,
yeah,
Dishonored
it isn't
got
really 8%. That good.
It did get some votes. More than Sleeping Dogs.
Dark Souls.
Shit.
Dark Souls.
Shut up about Dark Souls. Nobody wants to hear it.
All right. So, from Best Box Art, congratulations again, Halo 4.
Well done, Halo.
Box Art. We went to the most surprising success. So, this again, kind of could take some different forms because it could be success sales-wise. It could be success from just making a great game. I mean, again, kind of like most disappointment, it could take some different variations. So the nominees for this, Sleeping Dogs, Mark of the Ninja, Far Cry 3, XCOM Enemy Unknown, and The Walking Dead. And taking it with a whopping 52%.
Gotta be The Walking Dead.
Yeah, The Walking Dead ran away with it. It wasn't close at all.
No. What was second?
Second was XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Where did Mark of the Ninja go?
Mark of the Ninja also it came in at 12%, tying Sleeping Dogs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's all surprises, though, I suppose. I wouldn't say XCOM was a surprise. Would you, Chris, you're the expert on XCOM. Would you say that's a surprise? Chris?
I'll speak for Chris. I don't think it was a surprise for us. I think Chris walked away briefly. It wasn't a surprise for fans of the series because, one, we'd been paying attention to it in the media. You know, you kind of knew what they were doing with it, and it looked like it was going to be great. But I think it was a big surprise for a lot of people.
Don't like those types of games.
Yeah, they were like, turn-based strategy.
Yeah, fuck y'all. Yeah.
But it's excellent.
I'll give a little side story for the success of XCOM. I was on playing Blops 2 with all the lag people, and was talking to Mother Trucker, Jennifer, and she was just like basically inquiring about how good XCOM was and what type of game it was because she'd never heard of it and so on. And I think what it was, her son was dropping hints about getting it for Christmas, so. That just tells how much of an impact that game has had because boys like, you know, teenagers or whatever are normally going out and playing Blops and stuff like that and they're actually inquiring. She said as well, I think she mentioned the fact that he's normally into his role-playing games like Skyrim and stuff like that. So he's actually gone out and started drifting off and asking about something else and wanted this game for Christmas. So.
Good.
Yeah, for a game to have a bit of an impact like that and being able to draw in younger players and stuff, whereas...
You wouldn't have thought it, would you? If there's a turn-based strategy game that comes out for the Xbox and, like, young kids are asking for it. You wouldn't have predicted that.
And if you're listening to the normal media, you're probably getting the consensus that, it's a hardcore game and it's old school and all the retro boys are getting onto it and stuff like that and just playing it. But it has had that impact and it looks like other people are going out and trying to get it. So that's a good thing. It's great.
Yeah.
Props to the Xbox.
Props.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I should point out, all of these polls, the results will be available tomorrow as well as, so the day this podcast is going up, they should be available for anybody to see. Also, there's a lot of commentary that happened within the forum threads. So if you visit the G4TE.com forums and go to podcast feedback, that's where all of these polls resided. And you could read through a lot of the commentary. I didn't want to bog us down with the commentary because a lot of it was very personalized and kind of, you know, some of it you know, goes a little off course and in some banter back and forth between people commenting in the thread. So
Long.
I felt it was more relevant just to give the results, yeah. And people can go in and enjoy the commentary if they want.
Yeah.
So, all right, next category, best $20 and under game this year. So it had to be something that was available for $20 or under mm-hmm. on at least one console and or PC. And so our contestants or nominees, I should say, were Mark of the Ninja, Fez, The Walking Dead, Journey, and Minecraft, the Xbox 360 edition. And in a tie at 40% each, The Walking Dead and Minecraft Xbox 360 tied. I think that speaks volumes to the Gate community because they really rallied behind Minecraft.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why I was so adamant about seeing that included in the best 20 and under game this year, because so many people were playing that. And also another thing, I really found that to be a surprise, but that was just me.
What, Minecraft?
Yeah, I didn't think Minecraft would take off like it did. I just didn't.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it ties The Walking Dead for best 20 and under game.
You know what, this is making me realize, not many people liked Mark of the Ninja as much as me.
Yeah.
Well, you did get 12% of the vote going towards Mark of the Ninja.
I liked it as much as you, Mike.
Yeah, 8% went to Journey, and nobody cast a vote towards Fez. Fez out in the cold in this community.
Damn shame that. Well, I will speak up for Mike and his Mark of the Ninja. His talk about it has just got me very interested in that. And it's also, I think as well, in general, if you think critical acclaim, the amount of talk about Mark of the Ninja, I think it's just been done down because of the success of various other downloadable games. Unfortunately, yeah. It's fallen into them categories. All the time, if you look through all of the main feeds for podcasts and stuff, it's in there and it's up against The Walking Dead, and it's in there and it's up against Fez, and it's in there, you know. Some people have gone wild for Fez, other people haven't, like ourselves. But, yeah, you've got to say fair play to them. They've definitely stepped up their benchmark from Shank after making that game. Yeah.
And I just think, as well, it's like, There's this weird crossovers, like Walking Dead, I think it's like one of the first ones to do it where a downloadable game crosses over to like, a few years ago, I don't think many of us would have said a downloadable game on Xbox Live Arcade could be the game of the year, but now, like, it's a no-brainer. Whereas, like, when games like Limbo came out, it's like, it's good, but it's good for a downloadable game. Whereas The Walking Dead is like, it's good, that's it, full stop. Right.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up, because I know there are several podcasts that were talking about that very thing, about how they're having to kind of create new or different categories and how they characterize, because before it was best downloadable game, but even now, games on demand, you're seeing day and date release with a lot of games now. So I think, at least from our standpoint, the way we did this is separating them into best $20 and under game, and then, you know, best $60 title.
That's the fairest way to do it, I think. I mean, you could go like best game under $5, because there's that many games now under $5 that you could buy on Steam and on your iPhone that like that would still be great games that you could give some reward to as well.
There's two definitive titles this year that seem to have blurred that line more than any others, and that's Journey and The Walking Dead. It's hit everything. It's hit every single sort of nomination trail, and they all seem to, as if they've got to make a different sort of circumstances for how they vote, and I think that's going to change everything. And it'll be a good thing as well, because it's the sort of time as well to start thinking about that, because we don't know what's happening with that next generation of consoles.
True.
That will start blurring the lines more. You're going to get better downloadable titles from that, so you know, hopefully we'll see it all blend into one good thing, bad thing, we don't know. Let's wait and see.
Well, speaking of good and bad things that we didn't expect, you like that? Biggest WTF moment in a game. So that was the next category up for voting. And we had as nominees The Walking Dead, Mass Effect 3, Assassin's Creed 3, Mark of the Ninja, and Spec Ops The Line.
I don't know the results, but I'm going to guess Spec Ops is going to might be up. But like, I think Walking Dead's still strong, so I don't know.
I don't think a lot of people played Spec Ops, so I don't think it's going to get the same amount of attention.
Rich, you want to throw any
guesses? Without doing spoilers, I'm not going to throw anything in there.
Okay. Well,
there was Walking numerous Dead, ones on there.
Yeah, Walking Dead took it at 47.6%. In second place was Mass Effect 3 with basically about 29% of the vote, and Spec Ops: The Line actually came in third with about 20% of the vote. So it was it's an interesting mix of voting, but Walking Dead was kind of head and shoulders above the others. So
just as a matter of interest, the commentary that was going back in the forums about that, was it the same sort of moment in there, because I'm not trying to give spoilers, or was it differing moments in the game? Because there was quite a few WTF moments.
It seemed that the comments in the forums were actually geared towards other games other than The Walking Dead.
All right.
It's funny, because I think a lot of people are really steering clear of spoiling that game.
Yeah,
I think FIFA was a good write-in candidate.
Yes, FIFA was definitely a funny write-in candidate.
Part of the experience of The Walking Dead is that, I mean, you can't really give anything away because it will spoil it. That's the experience. Like that's what makes it a great game. It's like those decisions that you just go, I don't know. There's no good decision here. I don't know what to do. And like if you tell somebody what that was, then it spoils the game. So
yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to take that away from anybody.
Nope. Would agree. All right, let's move on to our next category. By the way, congratulations, Walking Dead.
Well done, Walking Dead.
You had the biggest WTF moment. We had next on the plate, best $60 game this year. So this just basically implied big AAA retail release. I mean, certainly it could be a game that came out at $50. I don't think we would have excluded it. It even came out at $40. It could have made the list. But what did make the list... We made an exception and made this six games. So we had Leading the Way, XCOM Enemy Unknown, Max Payne 3, Far Cry 3, Halo 4, Dishonored, and Mass Effect 3. And in a surprise, and I will say this vote came in literally... to push it over the edge at last minute, was Halo 4 taking it for best $60
wow.
game, just edging out Mass Effect 3.
Wow, that's surprising as well.
I do appreciate that you guys left XCOM in there for me. I mean, I know it wasn't going to win, but...
Hey, I voted for XCOM.
At least you threw me that bone. Bastards.
Yeah, that was a bloody fight.
I'd have never called Halo 4.
I wouldn't have called it either. I thought for sure...
It is good, though. I mean, I've been playing.
It's excellent.
It's great.
So what you're saying is that vote came in before we did this Google Doc?
That is definitely correct. That came in long before the Google Doc. The vote actually was cast
Oh, are they the Metacritic things that are on there? Or?
Yes, that's Metacritic. Okay, looking at. Okay,
yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. So congratulations to Halo 4. An honorable mention to Mass Effect 3. Not only are you the runner-up for best $60 game, but you are also the most disappointing game. Congratulations.
Oh.
I had to. All right. That brings us to Game of the Year for our Overseas Connection poll. And our nominees for Game of the Year, again, became kind of surprising. And we had The Walking Dead nominated. Downloadable $20 title going up against AAA beasts like Mass Effect 3, Dishonored, Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition, Halo 4, and Far Cry 3.
Hmm.
So any guesses, Mike or Rich?
I think The Walking Dead's going to do it.
Can I just say that before we announce this, community who are listening, this is all on you. Whatever you vote for, This is it. Personally, God, this is so hard. It is Walking Dead or Mass Effect 3 for me. And I love The Walking Dead. But I think when I was talking about it last, I was talking about the gameplay aspect of it. Whereas you can either take all of that away and do it again in a different style, or you can make it better. So if I'm thinking as playing a game, I'm going to have to go for Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
It's hard, it's a tug, but for me.
Well, we'll see what the community said. Chris, and again, I don't know, Chris, if you have access to the polls, so you already know.
Yep.
So I'm going to cover this a little differently. I'll tell you the bottom three vote-getters,
all tied.
He's doing it.
Yep.
He's doing
Far Cry 3, Halo 4, and Dishonored, all tied with basically about 8% each of the votes. In third place, Mass Effect 3.
Oh, my God. Primrose, how do you feel?
So it comes down to
Primrose, thoughts.
I can't say I'm good because I'm just so tugged between Walking Dead and Mass Effect 3. I think the person you need to ask is Chris. Because Chris felt like me, but then he had the whole thing with the end of the game. And I don't think I was affected that much by that until I heard all the stuff later on about what they pulled and what it looked like they pulled because of the DLC and what they were holding from you when you was doing it. But because I played the game and I still got the satisfaction out of it, I don't think I was as that bothered about it. Chris?
So I would have voted for Mass Effect 3, personally. I didn't play Minecraft, so that just wasn't something that interested me. And I didn't get into The Walking Dead until late. So my personal choice would have been Mass Effect 3. However, we'll see what the community has to say.
So is it between...
I didn't find anything that the top two spots go to XBLA titles, though.
Yes, so
is it between Minecraft and Walking Dead now, right?
Yes, between Minecraft and Walking Dead. So, and again, let's think this through. Best $20 game, you know, we saw basically a tie. So, what do we think we had here? We did have a winner. And I will say a clear winner. So, taking Game of the Year with 34.6% of the vote, just to get very specific for you, it is... The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Congratulations to The Walking Dead. And honorable mentions to both Minecraft and Mass Effect 3. I mean, to be perfectly fair, all of these games are fantastic. So you can't go wrong with any of these games.
No.
I'd say an honorable mention for the fact that any sort of $20 game has got up in Game of the Year top three. And you've got two in there. I'll tell you what, kick up the arse to all devs out there that are doing AAA games.
Yeah.
Make your games better, because otherwise...
I mean, but who'd have thought the people that made Wallace and Gromit and Back to the Future were going to be winning...
And Jurassic Park.
I told you, Greg, this time last year, that the people that made Jurassic Park, because it came out this time last year,
are going
to win Game of the Year next year, you would laugh
in
my face.
Yeah, totally. Totally laugh.
Yeah.
And when everybody said, Telltale doing a Walking Dead game, everybody did this. Everybody went, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Look what happened.
Yeah.
I've got a scenario to play out for you. January 2nd, tomorrow, everybody's going back to work. Telltale officers. Oh, fucking hell, shit. We've won all Game of the Years. We've got to fucking really up our game now. That's it. From now on.
We're going to do it again.
Walking Dead 2.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt season 2 is going to happen.
Oh, totally. All right, well, that does it for our polls. And again, congratulations to all the games that made it into our finals. And thanks to the community for voting on all of that. We'll take our quick break, and we come out of this. Mr. Matthew is going to cover over the community polls that we did.
my bios for glory. But not again, I've learned so much since then. I just hope that I don't cause a fire. When I find all the drivers, that's when I'll know it's right. I've got all the components I desire. I've got new side cables and some cool cathode bikes, but I don't know if I have the right Vista driver. In the case, I put in two brand new hard drives. Don't have to wait, cause they're both solid state. Add two more, now that's four in RAID 5. But I still need the drivers, all those hard disks won't write. Without them, this whole project's looking dire. I've installed several RAM sticks and the optical drive, but they won't do Vista drivers. Final piece falls into place. Lean and mean, power hungry. These DLLs have been giving me hell. With a flick of the switch, it's alive. It came down to the drivers, though they put up a fight. I can see my performance soaring higher. Now with my best driver, I'll make everything tight. And I finally found all the right Vista drivers.
So we are diving into the second half of our Game of the Year podcast, and now we're talking community feedback. So we ran some community-based polls. These were polls more geared towards the community, specifically things that they do or play or maybe might have some fun in responding to. In essence, we wanted to smooth the fur a little bit over, or ruffled feathers, if you will, over some of our selections for our Game of the Year polls and nominees, because definitely there were more than a few angry messages thrown my way or questioning messages about how could you leave Borderlands 2 off. Trials HD was a game we completely left off of the $20 and under category, which I still don't know it would have made the final cut, but it was at least worthy of mentioning, and that is one that we freely admit we screwed up and not even bring it up. Borderlands 2 certainly was, you know, thrown up as a game that should have been part of the discussions. A few people said Black Ops 2 was kind of missing from our discussions. We talked about it. We eliminated it out for some of the things that we were talking about, but we have other categories that, you know, we threw towards the community that we feel would fit that. So with that all said, and that apology out of the way, Chris, why don't you run down the community polls?
I'm going to actually run up the community polls because I find that to be more interesting. But here we go. I just put up five. The last one, I wanted to leave chance for a little bit of audience participation. So this is What's Your Style? And I just kind of left it open, whether it's your style in a shooter, whether it's how you race, whether you like to do sports games, whatever. Of course, Steve-O-Matic, never being one to miss a joke, the first thing he replied with was a video of Gangnam Style. One of the things no one will miss about 2012. Murphy's Law says that I am a brute force kind of a guy. If it's a square peg and a round hole, I will hammer that son of a bitch in. Give me a big gun and lots of explosives, and I will make it rain pixel parts. Filthy says he's definitely a team player, always focusing on the objective or support role. Quite happy to sit with the drone, spotting the enemy for other team members to shoot, which he said for his communication implant 30 years in the future. Very interesting. Dino is trying not to watch the Gangnam Style video. Super loves to shoot at AI, but is not a big fan of them shooting back. So his style is sneaking around and shooting silenced weapons from the shadows, or getting a group of AI clustered together and playing hot potato with an incendiary grenade, or figuring out ways to funnel them through a bottleneck into blistering crossfire. As anyone who's played Rainbow Six or Ghost Recon with me can attest to, I'll run out, trigger enemies, shake my ass at them, and then run back to one of several predetermined kill boxes. If they'll run themselves into 2 to 3-way crossfire, no need to flank them. But preferably, I'm taking them out long range before they know I'm around and without their buddies being aware. Or I'm close up, snatching them into the shadows, dispatching, and reacquiring. Shinyverse has no style. Everyone knows this. Nick Nitrous, my style is the sniper slash tank. I usually start off sniping all stealthy, but as soon as the enemy gets too close, I pull out a big machine gun or a battle axe and go all Rambo Conan on them. Ginger Ninja. My style is sort of a surfer mountain biker, a bit of a billabong or animal. Gaming-wise, it's about who I am playing with. On my own, I do like to camp a bit. I'm playing with others. I like to play kill confirmed. But I still like to sit back or outflank the other team. That's why it doesn't bother me that players' skill level makes such a difference to win. Don't misunderstand. I want to win. But when teammates are going negative KD every time, it's hard to win all the time. Fair enough. When it comes to racing, try to play fair. No ramming or rubbing if possible, especially when playing with friends. Super thinks that sniper tank is funny, which, yes, it is funny. Shark trimmer, charge in like there's no tomorrow, but every now and again be all tactical. Doesn't usually last. Marcanix tries to stay alive for more than 5 seconds. I'm with you. Dana is team-focused, a heroic coward, which is true. Parsnip Nose agrees with Phil Thee. The kill count doesn't bother me because a support role is every bit as important. And Stuhl C72, I think I said that wrong. I apologize.
Stulek?
Stulek, that's better. Yeah, sorry for making your name sound like poop. Anyway, says, I'm terrible at shooty games. I think we have far too many games where that is the mechanic that moves the game forward. That said, I agree with some of you guys. Being the cover guy is quite rewarding. At 43, I'm not actually sure I know my play style. I tend to try almost every game that comes out and dislike a lot of them. I'm sure mostly as I don't put enough time in. Also, having kids means two things. One, I don't get a lot of time to sit down and play. Two, I play more kids' games, which might not be a bad thing for my ever-slowing reflexes. Yes, me too.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so that was the write-in topic. Topic number four, best single-player experience. And we kind of hit this in the game of the year, but what I wanted more was which game generated the most discussion in the community. So the nominees were Mass Effect 3, Assassin's Creed 3, XCOM Enemy Unknown, Dishonored, and Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Let's see if we had any write-ins. Didn't have any write-ins on this one. Overwhelmingly, with 55% of the vote, Mass Effect 3. Not surprisingly, with all the interesting moments that everyone had and then the ending that everyone was maybe not so happy about. Topic number three.
what was the best racing experience for the Gaming for the Elderly community this year. Now, I posted up Forza Horizon Need for Speed Most Wanted in F1 2012. Surprisingly, Marcanix chimed in with F1 2012 was a big disappointment. So apparently a bit of a step backwards this year.
Wow, and, I did not realize that.
Yeah. And everyone else, well, not everyone else, but most everyone else said that the Forza Horizon had the best community aspect. So with 60% of the vote, Forza Horizon was the best community racing game for the Gaming for the Elderly this year.
I still have that sitting in a wrapper.
Oi, shitter.
Terrible.
You know what? You might have invites. Like on Friday nights and that, when they've been doing that, and I've been thinking, shit, I need that game.
Yeah. Well,
what game?
Forza Horizon. I picked that up on Black Friday for $15.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Get that booger unwrapped.
I know. I will. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. Go ahead.
This is kind of a strange topic. So, I put in what game got the most multiplayer attention this year, and the three that I started with were Borderlands 2, Black Ops 2, and Halo 4. I started with Borderlands 2, Black Ops 2, Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, Ghost Recon Future Soldier, and Medal of Honor Warfighter. I'm not sure why. Probably because you told me to. And based on a bit of feedback from the community, I added Guild Wars 2 and Minecraft. I did try to explain that I didn't have Minecraft in there initially because we had already hit that up in the Game of the Year polls. But anyway, I added it. Parsnip Nose did point out that Blops 2 got his vote because apparently the Gaming for the Elderly has one of the largest clans on Black Ops 2. 60 to 80 members, I believe, is what he gave me as an estimation.
Wow.
So, a lot of participation for the community in Black Ops 2. However, with 44% of the vote, Borderlands 2 takes this one.
Yeah, I think Borderlands 2, the real draw from that was just because it was all co-op multiplayer, but it's so easy to just jump in and jump out.
That's it. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
And you don't disrupt. Like, if I'm playing and you know, Rich jumps into my game, it doesn't disrupt me. You know, it doesn't force me to stop and pause and have to, you know.
Sometimes you don't even know it's happening.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes suddenly they just show up. So, yeah. I can see the attraction of that game for sure. Quite good.
And then
quite good.
Finally was the apology thread. What game was your game of the year? Based on some things being left out. And I put up Borderlands 2 and XCOM Enemy Unknown. But we did have some write-in votes for Dragon's Dogma, Spec Ops The Line, The Walking Dead, and Minecraft. So I put a comment that The Walking Dead and Minecraft weren't in there because they were already included.
Right.
And so the vote, 55% of the vote went to Borderlands 2. So that was actually a close one.
Okay.
Shinyverse did say something about New Year's Eve Halo and said I should ask you about being drunk while you're trying to play Halo, Greg. I don't know what's up with that.
Yes. Halo 4 New Year's Eve party. It was quite fun. We had a fairly sizable group. We ended up
a riveting time, Greg.
It was a blast.
Did you have a sizable drink as well?
Yes, I was drinking Captain and Coke for a while. And then switched over to champagne later on in the night, but that was prior to Halo 4, or after Halo 4, I should say. Yeah, I'm still drunk. Anyway. So, I'm sorry, who was in second place on...
Well, there were the only two... So, with 55% of the vote, Borderlands, XCOM Enemy Unknown came in second. If I tallied up all the write-ins, Dragon's Dogma would have been third.
Gotcha.
Yep.
You know, and again, this goes back to, you know, a lot of people were disappointed and things being left off. We debated every game with the exception of Trials HD. Again, we nod. Or Trials, was it Evolution? It was Trials Evolution.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we really did try to put every game at least in for consideration that we thought was worthy, and all of the games that we were just talking about. And we talked about them. But again, when you're trying to narrow down to five slots, there are some tough cuts that get made. And when you're trying to get a group of guys like us to agree on these are the top five, unfortunately, Chris, you weren't part of those conversations. But, I mean, it's amazing how tense that gets and how tough that gets, because you do leave off games. You're kind of thinking in the back of your head, how can we leave that off? How can that not be there? But when you're analyzing it up against some of these other games and you really start nitpicking things, you kind of have to start making some concessions once in a while. Unless you're Richard Primrose and you're just saying Max Payne 3, there's, you know, should be in every category.
Hey, look, if there's any consolation to be had, at least we're not running your relevant country where you're listening from. That's all I can say.
Oh, I see how you are now.
Take solace in that.
Yeah. All right. That does it for our polls and our awards. Congratulations to all the games that won. Congratulations to all the people that participated. You know, we thank you for doing that. We did have some Twitter feedback over the holiday break. Rich, why don't you start pulling that up right now? I'm going to real quickly talk about next week's question while you're doing that. So you're
what's
nice
next
and ready.
Week's question, Greg?
Next week's question. It's going to be kind of real straightforward, simple. I mean, it is New Year's Day. And so we thought, you know what? Every year, you most people do some kind of New Year's resolution, something they want to do. So we want to know what your New Year gaming resolution is, or if there's multiple. You know, if you have a few resolutions, gaming-oriented, and if you don't have one yet, make one up. See if you can't stick it out to it. So we'll talk about that next week. So with that said, tweets, Rich.
Yeah, there's not many to go on, really. There's just one. There's more than one. The Overseas Connection podcast tweeted to the Overseas Connection podcast. The Walking Dead was discussed extensively by the Overseas Connection podcast and the Veteran Games UK.
Oh, obviously, Twitter thing is drunk.
Yes, it is. And it said, look out for that podcast and wait for Duke Scaff's cold dinner. So we'll wait and see what's in that, because I don't think it's up yet. Is it up there?
Not yet.
No.
So that podcast will actually come up probably on the heels of this podcast. So there'll be a lot to listen to this week.
Yeah, and then Duke Scaff put a Twitter up for us saying dinner was hot and delicious, but it was late and we were really hungry when we ate. That's because the poor fella had to wake up about an hour for his dinner, but that's only because he was talking too much. We got another one saying congrats on the 200 shows, keep them up and keep them coming, from Duke's Gaff. And we also had cheers on 200. This is from Jay. That's Jay's machine, isn't it?
Denver J, yeah.
Yeah, Denver J. And here's to 200 more great podcasts. And then Mike Chin, literally, during this show, said,
yep.
Skullduggerer is bugging me to play this on this week's episode of the OC podcast.
And it's a picture of...
That's now, and it's live, and it's a picture of Far Cry 3.
There you go.
Yes.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Primrose?
That's all I've got.
I do have one that will bring a smile to your face, Mr. Primrose. Mr. Killer Cranky had sent in a tweet just prior to Christmas saying, at Skullduggar, at OC Podcast, just picked up Dishonored while Xmas food shopping based on your recommendation. We'll let you guys know how I get on.
Get in. That was over 8 days ago, and I didn't reply to that. So good on that man. He'll enjoy it.
Okay, well, I think that does it for that show. We don't have any community spotlight or gaming fact because everybody's drunk on champagne and living the life on New Year's Day, but we do have some... boy, man, this podcast going downhill quickly, guys.
Yep, yep, it's going down. I can see it.
Events, happenings. Chris, we're going to play the jingle right now.
Starsky's board. Let's do this.
Playdates this week. Monster Mondays on Minecraft. A little bit of Halo drinking games on Monday nights if you want to do some Halo drinky drinking. And if you're still drunk on Friday, a little bit of racing. Always fun to race when you're drunk. And yes. The veteran gamers, they'll be doing something. Gears of War, poker, Counter-Strike. Just turn up. They'll tell you. It'll be okay. Turn on all of your gaming systems and stand by. And happy birthday this week to Corzan.
Happy birthday, Corzan.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Welcome to the new members, Stormbringer X, Sergeant Cougar, Woody, Stulek 52, Mr. Miyagi 1984, Billy Bob Thornton 918, Simon D.I., welcome back, K-Dog, Stone Deaf Forever, Mr. Rob Rancor, and J-Dog Double G 7619.
Fucking hell, I know I'm pissed, but have we just said all of that before?
Yes. Moving on.
Feeling like deja vu.
What are you trying to do? Play with my head or what?
It's like deja vu all
over. Nobody said we were recording that again.
Oh my goodness.
I just felt like I lost 2 minutes of my life.
Richard.
more wine, Rich. More wine. Just continue on, Chris.
That was bizarre.
Continue drinking. Victory is achieved this week. Congratulations to our very own Murphy's Law for finishing Far Cry 3. Parsip Knows 3000 finished Medal of Honor.
Finished it, Greg.
Yes, I finished it.
Jesus. Sorry, Karen.
Where were you in the podcast earlier?
I don't know.
Well, see, when you and Rich talked about Far Cry 3 for like an hour,
everybody tuned out?
Yeah. So right, probably no one's listening to this right now anyway, because they're like, fuck, they're just talking about Far Cry. Parsip Knows finished Medal of Honor Warfighter. John Mouse finished Halo 4. B. Aussie finished Borderlands 2. Bongo the Saint finished Journey and the Darkness 2. Stulek 52 finished The Walking Dead Episode 5, Mafia 2, and Portal 2. SLH finished Peggle Adventure Mode and The Walking Dead Episodes 3 through 5. PG Tips 77 finished Skyrim. One does not finish Skyrim. Amras 89 finished Unmechanical and Mark of the Ninja. Gamergirl 20 finished 27. Finished The Walking Dead Episode 1, and Knife Party 2381 finished Dead or Alive 5. Isn't that the volleyball one with the weird Japanese girls?
I think so.
How do you finish? And never mind. Don't want to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you would like to be included in the Victory Achieved contest, here's how you do it. Follow at g4te.com on Twitter, spell the dot. Post a picture of yourself on Twitter with your face and the end credits to whatever game you just finished. And we'll pick a winner at random. The entries are due by January the 31st of 2013. Hey, did you know this? That 2013 is the first year since 1987 that all four digits are different.
I knew that.
Yes, and funny thing, Mike, did you not bring that up in the last podcast?
You know what?
I
think you did.
I wasn't there. Doesn't count.
I know. It's craziness. It's like deja vu all over again.
Again, Rich. Do we need to record last week's show again, Rich? Are you okay? You with us? Okay.
I think he's dozed off.
I'm here. Chill up. Get away with you.
Yes. And that brings us to
the closing notes.
Closing notes.
There's no rust on this podcast. None at all. It's like
200 episodes in and we're nailing this.
I couldn't remember. I didn't know if we had any. Never mind. Forget about it. If you want to email the show, tell us how terrible we are at our jobs, which is, these actually aren't our jobs. But if you just want to.
Yes. Thank God.
Volkow will get paid for this.
Pretend that these are our jobs and tell us how much we are fired. You can email that to ocpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you can't wait to email it and you can get all of your rage into 140 characters or less. Tweet it.
Rage is a game.
Tweet rage. Tweet rage.
Is a game. It is. So is the quiet game, Michael. The quiet game. Tweet us at OC underscore podcast. Or...
or derail the show.
You can't fuck Black Game.
I've reached the episode in Breaking Bad where Jesse was playing Rage as a lockgun shooter, and I thought, that's odd.
If you can't play the quiet game, if you're terrible at it, and you got to verbalize, then call the show.
You've lost Primrose.
Primrose is off. Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, big laugh. He has gone off reservation.
Oh my god, he's gone.
So, at this point, yes. What Mr. Matthew was so trying to just get past Mr. Primrose and saying, you can call the show 626-506-2763. You can give us iTunes reviews and really tell us what you think of the show. And if you are one of those poor saps that still has a Zune, it's a dead platform. We get it, Mike. I know. But there are a few people still holding out and loving their Zunes passionately, caressing them, holding them, never wanting to give up. Zune reviews. We'll never read them because we don't have a platform anymore. Yeah.
We will need iTunes reviews, though. We will.
Yes, we do need iTunes reviews. That, very important. All right. Wow. I'm afraid. Skull... just give us your shout-outs quickly, if you can.
Tuckle.
Go.
Oh, dear me.
Right, okay. Yeah, right. I had something to say, I can't remember.
Would you like me to help you?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. I am going to shout out the Stickman, Duke Scath, Denver J, and Mr. Killer Cranky.
Any reason why?
Just because I wanted to.
Just because he wants to.
All right.
Yes. Mike.
I'm going to shout out Telltale Games. Stu from the Veteran Gamers podcast for actually admitting that Lollipop Chainsaw is bad, because, believe me, it is bad. Still better than Bayonetta, which is still awful. I shout out Primrose for not listening to this episode. All the...
Yes, I lost money. Thanks for that.
All right. Give me the money.
Primrose.
Shout outs.
I'd like to shout out anybody that's been in contact with me over Christmas and putting up with me, because bloody hell, that's our job. And all you guys, just for being here. That's okay. It. Done.
Okay.
I guess brings it to me, so...
Yes, Mr. Primrose.
Matthew.
Thank you for that. Sorry, Matthew, go ahead.
Don't expect a handover. I was supposed to be asleep by now.
Yes.
Where's the love?
Chris, just go.
I'm going. I'm going to shout out, first of all, anyone who's made it to this point in the show. Bless you.
You should give it a secret word, and then someone can tweet the secret word. See if they get this far.
Is Baba Ganoush.
So, yeah, tweet.
Tweet
OC
Baba
podcast.
Ganoush. I will select a random winner, and you'll get 400 Microsoft points. I have the codes ready to go. Okay.
No, that's send them a secret prize.
Whatever. Yeah, you're drunk, Primrose.
Yeah, you're drunk, go home.
No, on this if you do that, send it, and you will get a secret prize.
Okay. I'm also going to shout out Pamela Stout Soul for being the Facebook Fan of the Week on the Gaming for the Elderly Facebook page. I'm going to shout out the Stickman for keeping the Facebook page going. And I'm going to shout out one of our new members, Sergeant Cougar, because Sergeant Cougar runs his own little website called A-Gamer. And he's looking for followers on Facebook and Twitter, so look him up. Sergeant Cougar. S-G-T space Cougar. Yep. And those are my shout-outs. Finish us, Greg. We got to get out of here.
We're done. Yep. Let's go.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Greg, ready to cover GOTY? Rich's response, oh, fuck. I'm pissed and have just cleared a party out of my gaff. You should start until try and get home before midnight. In my worst possible accent.
That was a pretty bad accent.
Yeah, well, I kind of stopped trying once I got to my gaff. Because you should. It's you should. S-H-U-D. Start and I'll try and get on before midnight. So, yeah. There you go.
He ain't coming.
Probably not. Mr. Matthew, however, once he jumps on, and I think he's back on, we can pretty much add him to the call. See how this goes.
So
looks like Primrose is coming in.
Oh, no. He's going to be drunk.
Man, I was on a good rant, and Greg's just like, whatever.
Sorry.
Tell you what. If ever there's been a wrong time to do a podcast, this is fucking it.
Hey, I'm going to be loud, Rick, so you don't have to be, right? See, listen to this.
What was that?
Oh, no, he's drunk.
That was me ripping ass. No, I'm just kidding. It was my chair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My sister called me last night drunk off her ass, left me a Happy New Year's message that as soon as I started listening to it, I'm like, holy shit, she's hammered.
Hammered.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Is your older sister or younger sister?
Yeah, older. Yeah. By 7 years, so.
There's no quieting this chair. It's ridiculous.
We've had like a party around our house since 12 a.m.
Right.
And I've only just got rid of it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to... Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's a great idea. We should have Rich introduce the show.
That's actually a brilliant idea. Rich, you up for that?
Yeah.
Remember, why, episode 200.
Why fucking not? Is this episode 200?
Is this 200?
It's 200, baby.
We gotta
sell okay.
I know.
I can do this. I can do this.
Here over my computer. Hold on.
Hello, and it's episode 200, and I've
Wait.
What the fucking hell are you doing to me? Like, did you get the chance to interrupt? You just fuck it all up.
Alright, start over.
Don't be fucking sniggering on me.
I do like Snickers bars.
He's not stopped yet. He's not stopped. I'm waiting. Are you finished?
I'm done, yes.
Okay. Hello, and this is episode 200 of the Overseas Connection. If ever there's never been a wiser time to do a podcast, this is it. But nevertheless, let's go on. It's the Game of the Year podcast as well. Who we got?
Outstanding job, Rich. Outstanding job. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to jump in with the life raft yet or not.
You can do what you want, mate. You can do what you want.
You are well, Rich, whether he wanted you or not, so let's just go.
Hey, you know, it is episode 200. This is exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is probably the most awkward start to a 200 show ever.
People are like, really? These guys have been doing this for 200 shows and they're still this horrible?
I love the way it's like it's a big moment, 200, episode 200.
And are we bothered?
Primrose just goes, hello. Hello.
Yeah. I mean, I have this vision of Rich just hovering over like a big glass of whiskey. And, hello.
No, it's red wine, mate.
Episode 200.
Red wine. Oh,
even better. Is still in the bottle or are you drinking out of a glass?
No, it's in a glass.
Okay. We haven't degraded that much yet, but by end of the show, I'm thinking it's just coming straight out of the bottle.
No, it's in a glass engraved with Dad. Christmas present, nice.
What?
Fucking hell, I've been drinking for 12 hours. Really?
So this is going to be a good show.
It should be. If I keep quiet, it will be.
Yes. Why don't we begin that policy now? I'm Chris Matthew, gamertag CPM1376, CP Matthew everywhere else. How about you, Mike?
I am Mike Chin. My name is Mike Chin. I am 27 years old. I have a gamertag. It is Chin Chinny. Hello, everyone listening. Welcome to episode 200.
I love how Chris slaps the key to make his microphone go mute.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
The ironic part about the whole
thing. Oh, no. Greg is really quiet.
Greg's in the other room.
Greg, we can hear you, but look, you said like you're 50 miles away.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the worst episode ever.
All right, I'm going to stop for a second. All right, so that little technical snafu happened. Yeah, my microphone completely disconnected when I was trying to talk to you guys. So, yeah, my name, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law,
Greg.
Pretty much everywhere.
Greg.
Yes.
But
yes.
Just start.
Do it from the beginning.
Just pretend that none
again. That's what I thought you was doing.
That's
awful. I think if this is a real room...
It will all be in the outtakes, all right?
If this was a real room now, when you started talking then, Greg, I think Chris, Rich, and I all stared at each other and went, is he really carrying on from that disaster that just happened?
All right, here we go.
Is it recording, Greg?
I will double check, but yes. Why don't you record just to be safe?
Oh, my God. Is there anything that could go wrong?
Exactly. Let's be safe.
Let's be safe.
You know, where do you race? Because, you know, we know racing's popular,
dude,
but we didn't cover
like a pound of malt balls. So my gut is about to explode.
Okay.
Jingle complete. Is it this?
No.
Is it this? Is it
no.
this?
Yes, whatever that is.
Oh, that's my mouse. All right.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.